Tonight is Sheldon Neidl. Sheldon was born in New York City on November the 11th, 1946, and raised in Buffalo, New York. His first extraterrestrial and spacecraft experiences began shortly after his birth and was highlighted all through his childhood by various modes of contact phenomena. During most of his life, he has enjoyed ongoing telepathic communications with the Galactic Federation of Light via etheric and physical implants. Sheldon has visually observed and physically experienced spacecraft throughout the years. What makes his information unique is that it is transmitted to him directly without channeling, scientific when necessary, and encoded with a spiritual language. Around the age of 14, Sheldon requested that the Syrians and the Galactic Federation of Light Allies discontinued communications with him because he was experiencing an overwhelming conflict between their advanced scientific and societal knowledge, that which he was learning here on Earth. They left. But the Syrians and the Galactic Federation of Light Allies told him that they would be back when it was time to complete his mission for planet Earth and her people. In high school, Sheldon was placed in advanced science programs in subject areas such as physics, chemistry, and calculus. Due to Sheldon's education in science, the social sciences, as well as extensive research in Nikola Tesla's alternative energy technologies, etc., he's able to bring a rational and scientific approach to this controversial subject. Sheldon has a bachelor's degree in political science, University at Buffalo, 1968, master's degree in Southeast Asian government, Ohio University, 1970, master's degree in American politics and international public administration, University of Southern California, where he was also a PhD candidate, 1974-1976. He has written many books, creates and produces many DVDs and videos, as well as tours and lectures, informing the world of the intentions of her star sisters and brothers. He's also the founder of Planetary Activation Organization, PAO, an organization with over 2,100 registered groups worldwide. PAO's philosophy is to empower the individual in order to transform the world. Under PAO's sponsorship, small semi-autonomous groups called Planetary Activation Groups, PAGs, prepare for full consciousness, first contact, galactic society, and Earth stewardship. PAGs are inner-guided and self-organizing in the way they serve and activate their communities. Sheldon is the Earth liaison to the Galactic Federation. Brothers and sisters of Mother Earth, the universe, in all dimensions, please join me in an extremely warm and loving welcome for a very special guest, Mr. Sheldon Neidel. Hi, Sheldon. Thanks for being here tonight. And this
thanks
is very exciting.
Thanks, Jean. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Wonderful. I'm sure the Galactic Federation is pleased as well, Sheldon. We're getting this out to the world. And are you ready?
Sure. Whenever you're
okay.
ready.
Okay. Let's get started. Sheldon, how long have you been an ET contact, and who contacted you?
Well, I've been an ET contact in this mission since the mid-'80s, when I came back to all of this in a very strange way in Mount Shasta. And as a result, I began restudying everything, and Washta, who's been my guide when I was a kid and when I came back again in the 80s, was the person who became the person in charge of all my studies, and he is still my main guide here today. And it's been an interesting trip over the last 2 decades when I got back into doing all of this, so it's interesting.
And is this one of the Sirens of the Galactic Federation that you're
right,
referring
to? Right, he's a Sirian Ascended Master right now, yes.
Okay. And can you tell us a little bit about what it's like on a mothership, Sheldon?
Well, on the mothership, everything is very loving, and it's an atmosphere where you feel totally as one with the energies of the universe. You feel in love. You feel united with the universe. So that you have a feeling that's different than here on Earth. Here you can sometimes, or most of the time actually, I've noticed, you feel separated or you feel unique, or you never really feel as a oneness with spirit that you get when you're on the mothership, because the ship has energy that gives you constant emanations of love, and everybody on the ship is giving you that, so that when you're there, the feeling that you have is of being in love, dedicated, and totally in service to the Creator. It's a marvelous energy, and I really miss it.
So is the ship also a living being as well?
It's a living being. It's a special organic life form. What the fully conscious human societies have done, galactic societies throughout this galaxy, is create vehicles that they travel in that are extensions of themselves. So these vehicles have an artificial intelligence that is telepathic and is in total service to you. And so when you're on them, you can feel that you are surrounded by another life force that is in total service and love to you, and that is totally, totally dedicated to helping you receive what any resources are necessary for you to complete whatever is necessary for the mission that you're on. So you feel their love energy, you feel their soul energies, and you feel the energies of total support for whatever you have to do. And as I said, it's a very unique and wonderful feeling.
Wow, how awesome. What do the Sirians tell you about your life's work, and how does this relate to what's happening now?
Well, they told me when I was a very young kid that I would be doing this mission, and of course I was totally skeptical about this whole procedure that they were talking to me about, because at the time I was a very shy kid that was stuttering, etc. I was not a very outgoing person. I still am not. what they told me was that I would be able to complete this mission, and the process that I would do would be go out to lecture to people and to explain it to people in all different kinds of media, which I'm doing right now. And
right.
The procedure that I have discovered is that when I'm doing this stuff, my normal inhibitions and my limitations just go away, and I become a different person. So I have discovered that what's going on right now is for me to be more and more in a communicative mode, and that's pretty much what I've been doing. I just finished a wonderful workshop in Los Angeles last weekend that was very well received. So I am amazed every time I do these things because, like I said, I'm a quite introverted person normally.
Yeah, you
and
me too.
Myself. And I'm not the world's most communicative person normally, so I'm noted for my very short answers. So what I do is, to a lot of people who know me, it's in a concept other than what I do, it's kind of strange that I'm doing what I'm doing, but it's what I'm here to do, and as I said, when I do it, I just get in this other energy, and it changes how I react with people. So I find it very interesting, a kind of a unique phenomena that I go through, so I'm enjoying it.
When you were a child, they started contacting you when you were a child, right?
Right. When I was very, very young, I started getting this training. As a matter of fact, my sister and myself, who later participated in this with me, we both feel that our real parents were the various Syrian people that were involved in our trainings when we were kids,
right,
and not so much our parents. We saw our parents as kind of being this example that we were given to understand better what Earth was about. So I kind of came into this planet in a total mystery about what goes on here, and a lot of times I'm still got that same mystery going. Human society to me is very odd.
You feel out of place there, don't you?
I feel like a fish out of water, to use that phrase. I think it's very appropriate. Yeah, I feel quite out of place.
Same thing with me. I've always felt like that, and I always felt about myself by feeling like that something was wrong with me. I felt like, you know, I didn't fit in, so I felt bad about myself, but thanks to a lot of things I've learned through what I've read and the videos and stuff that I've seen that you've produced, it helped me understand this a lot better, and then also other books of other people that I read as well. But when they first contacted you as a child, did they appear to you in physical form, or how did this contact happen, Sheldon?
It started very physically. I was always brought up to the ships, so I felt that the ships were like my home, and that Earth was kind of like my second home. I never really felt highly evolved to being an Earth person until I was kind of forced when I started school to spend more time down here. But all the time that I spent up there in the ships was to me a golden time. So I really, it's one of my answers that I would always expect from them when I asked the question, which was, can I stay? And they'd say, no, you have to go. You have a job to do. I knew I would get the same answer, but I kept asking it. I was hoping that maybe someday they'd relent, but they never did.
Now, did they just come and take you? Like, what did they do? Like, they beamed you up? And was this any time, even when you were in school, or was this just like nighttime when you were quiet and private in your own room?
I was mostly teleported when I came back from school, or in sometimes almost most of the day on a weekend. Their schedule basically was to fit what they wanted to do with me around what I was doing on the planet. So
right.
And in the beginning,
right,
I didn't really like school that much because to me it was primitive and weird, with a lot of teachers that were picking on me that I really didn't understand what was going on. Like I had a teacher in kindergarten that illegally shook me all the time because she was retiring and the school board couldn't do anything about it. And then I had another teacher in first grade that thoroughly just whipped me all the time with this huge wooden rulers they had back then on the knuckles, because she was upset because she lost most of her parents and her family in to the Nazis in World War II. And, of course, I had this very thick accent, and German accent, and I had an extremely difficult time understanding English. Really, Syrian and German were what I started out with.
Wow, you were speaking Syrian in school?
No, I was speaking up in the ships, but I knew German more because of my grandfather, you know. So.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I had a very thick accent, even thicker than like Kissinger or Von Braun or anything like that, and so.
I've heard you talk about a great consciousness shift, Sheldon. What exactly is that?
Well, what's happening is we are moving from limited consciousness, which is this division between what they like to call the veil of spirit and the veil of physicality, and we are basically merging those together, and that's what this shift in consciousness is. We're going to become fully conscious beings, which are people that walk in both those worlds equally and are able to understand the nature of both of them. And so as fully conscious beings, we then become what I like to call, from what they have told me, physical angels, which means that we are beings that are of heaven and also of physicality, and our job is to use that ability to make this world, in the physical universe, a much better place and uplift it so that it can eventually shift itself completely from being a lower levels of physicality into totally shifting itself into higher levels of physicality.
So that's what we're in the middle of doing now, in the beginning or in the middle, or how far are we in doing this?
Well, for ourselves in this particular procedure, our operational acts have brought us to the point where we're near the end of this. That's why we're all in the midst of these shifts, where we feel fatigues, we feel strange pains, everybody that I know, including myself, goes through all kinds of strange and crazed pains and feeling fatigued, or sometimes your brain feels like it's going offline for long periods of time, or you forget words or phrases.
Definitely. Right backwards, too. How about that one?
Yeah.
Could you describe the physical and the mental and emotional and spiritual changes that's happening to us? Is there anything else that you can explain about that, so people that are listening tonight that are hearing this for the first time and not quite sure of what it's really all about?
Sure. What's happening to us as far as physicality goes is we are combining with things we just talked about, our spiritual, our mental, and our emotional selves. And what
right.
we are doing is we're moving our mental and emotional selves upward and combining them more with the spiritual knowledge that we intuitively know. But what we're moving from is from that being intuitive to that being something that we can actually measure. Right now, science denies the spiritual aspects because they can't be measured. And the basic concept of science right now is this reductionism, which says that if you can't see it or feel it or measure it, it doesn't exist. Or if it does exist, what it is, we don't really know because we can't measure it. So what's happening is we're actually moving from a period where we have a science that can't do that to we have what I like to call spiritual science, which is a science that combines spiritual knowledge with the knowledge of physicality so that we can really know how everything in physicality truly works, how things are created, why they're manifested or not manifested, how things happen, why some ideas work and some don't, and learning the whole concept of how a desire and an intention moves from that to being manifested. And this is what the spiritual science we're talking about will eventually be. And so as we begin to combine all that energy together, we're bringing in all kinds of energy systems. There's like 206 minor energy systems in our body, many of which are dormant or else blocked. And so what's happening is they are unblocking right now and connecting and integrating with the new energy centers or chakras. Right now there's 7 major chakras in our body or energy centers. And these special wheels, which is what chakras means in Sanskrit, are basically coming together and creating a new system that will eventually have 13 chakras. And so these 13 chakras and 206 minor systems are coming together by the meridians in our body, which are the lines of communication similar to the ley lines on our planet, coming together to create a new fully conscious body to house our new integrated fully conscious consciousness, which is the upward unification of our spiritual, mental, and emotional selves. And so we are moving into a whole new era, and that's why a lot of us get into a lot of trouble or difficulties because of this change happening. And as you begin to see this change happen, you get a better and better idea of exactly how vast this shift is. That's why they call it the great consciousness shift, because it is a vast union. And so as we begin more and more to realize this, we see what we've done and how far we've come. In the last few decades, we've made incredible amounts of awakening on this planet. Right now, all things spiritual and all things related to what's going on with the reality about ETs in the universe is one of the most important subjects talked about with people. And the majority of people on this planet and in this country, the United States, agree that both things are real and that the process that we're going through is about unification of our spiritual and mental and cetera selves, and that we are close to a contact. A lot of people who look at the whole process of contact understand that a first contact, that is a formal contact between the peoples of this planet and the peoples of different planets and different star systems, or star nations as I like to call them, are very close. And of course the group in which they're all united is the Galactic Federation of Light. And so the Galactic Federation of Light has been basically divinely ordered by heaven to be a part of this process of creating this first contact and making it happen. And so that right now is what we're all in the midst of. And so that's why people realize or feel very deeply that something incredible is happening to them, and that something even more incredible is going to happen. A major watershed event like a first contact is very close to happening, and that there are great changes ready to happen on this planet. And that, of course, is what we're all very, very close to.
And so we're going to remain here on Earth. Is this what they're talking about? Is this what they're calling ascension?
Well, ascension basically is what the great shift is, moving into full consciousness. That's absolutely correct.
Okay, great. And is that where what's the Galactic Federation of Light?
Well, the Galactic Federation of Light is well over 200,000 different star nations, star councils, etc., whose sole purpose is to spread light throughout this galaxy. And they have come here because what has happened is there used to be a very serious and difficult dark energy in this galaxy, which basically was called by the dark forces as Enchara. And Enchara had an alliance, and this dark alliance had empire ships and empire planets, etc., that was busily conquering the galaxy. And, of course, the forces of light then were engaged in a galactic war, which has lasted for millions of years. And we're now on the point where this war, because of the decrees of Enchara about now almost 11, 12 years ago, allowed, finally, for peace to happen in this galaxy. And so there's been a great union, a great harmony in this galaxy in this short period of time, a little over a decade. And because of this, the Galactic Federation of Light that's coming to our world to do the first contact actually consists of a traditional core of humans who are in charge of the original colonization of this world, along with those non-humans who up until recently were dedicated actually to destroying what was now going to be landing here as first contact. So what we have is a piece of this galaxy. So what I see now is the microcosm here, planet Earth, is going to be with first contact in a process of moving also toward world harmony, world peace, and towards a whole new union of the different nations on this planet to create a galactic society on this world and to move ourselves into full consciousness and into a whole new way of putting together how governments and societies are organized and run.
So we're going to remain here on Earth and do this all together.
Well, what's going to happen is there's a thing inside the Earth which I call inner Earth,
because
the Earth is hollow. And so we will be, when the magic moment comes, we'll be put inside the Earth, and others who are meant to end their contract with this being on this planet will go to ships. And what will happen at that time is then they'll be shifted into full consciousness, and the planet will shift itself into its fully conscious mode, which is a vast shift in how this planet looks. There'll be all kinds of planets coming up, mountains going down, oceans being created, shorelines expanding, the melting of the poles, the bringing up of a firmament in the atmosphere, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, a vast change.
This is all going to be happening at first contact. In other words, we're not going to all be standing here on Mother Earth looking up into the sky and seeing all these ships in the sky and this great happening going on. They're going to have some of us beamed up in ships and others go into inner Earth for this
first
contact?
With first contact allows us finally to reunite with our galactic and spiritual families. And when the changes on our planet happens, we will all be taken either, as I said, into inner Earth or up into the ships, depending on what our life contracts are as far as our commitments to Earth are.
Okay, so that's the main scenario for first contact with the Galactic Federation.
Right. So the beginning part is the contact, and then there's a period where we're going to be working on a whole process of helping to explain and enact our Earth stewardship, and then there'll be a period where the Galactic Federation will be teaching us also about first full consciousness. And then what happens is as the Earth prepares to change and shift itself, when Mother Earth goes into those changes, just before then we'll be moved into inner Earth and into the ship so that while the changes happen, we can complete our changes as well.
Are we going to just wake up one morning and this is going to be this way? Or is this going to happen while we're sleeping at night? Or are we going to have any kind of warning or anything?
Well, basically, let's look at contact. When first contact actually happens, first there will be formal announcements in governments that these beings exist, the Galactic Federation is real, and that there are ships here. And then the next phase will be that the Galactic Federation will then describe the scenario for first contact, explain who they are to the people of the planet. And once that's all done, then there'll be an actual period where the final aspect of the contact will happen, and that final aspect is the actual landing. The landing will be heralded with trumpets, with announcements, and that will be not only on media, namely radio, television, internet, etc., but also they'll set it up so that telepathically you hear it in your head, so that no matter where you are, you'll have full communication capabilities of knowing what's going on.
Wow.
And when that happens, there'll also be a sign that the landings are about to happen. You'll see the ships above you, and then the landing procedures will begin. And these, of course, are procedures not only with ships, but with various angels and archangels and ascended masters that will be part of the landing party as well, because this is a reunion of our spiritual as well as our galactic families.
This is going to be something really awesome, but what about the people, Sheldon, that this is going to really freak out, that this is going to think like this is the end of the world, or, it's going to be a comment or something given to these people?
First is going to be a basic announcement by the governments. The second phase is that before the landings happen, there'll be this educational period, as well as before the landings, there'll not only be the trumpets, there'll be energies designed to move around the planet to calm people down, to get them over their fears, to get them over their anxieties. Because the whole process is to have people understand two things. This is a divine process, and that it's being done in love with love and grace.
Right.
And so the whole project is that when this final act happens, which is the landings, it's the end result of a whole process of preparing us for the landings to happen, and that during the landings, this similar preparation is still going on. So that when the final messages happen after the landings are completed, the whole procedure has tied itself together from beginning to end to emphasize three things to people. The landings are by benign, advanced beings of spirit and of physicality of this galaxy. Secondly, it is being done as part of a process to shift us from where we are now in limited consciousness to where we are in full consciousness. And then as a result of all of this, we are also going to be gifted with a whole series of abilities and a whole series of various technologies that allows us to rapidly and easily shift ourselves and our reality into the new reality, which is the reality of a fully conscious beings operating in a fully conscious society that supports the creation and the continuance and maintenance of a fully conscious reality.
So what makes this particular First Contact mission so unique, Sheldon? And what's its history since 1995?
Well, what makes this so unique is that this is really the first time on this planet where a large contact is formally going to happen between the Galactic Federation and the people of this planet. In other words, the entire people of this planet. What happened in 95 was what we were just referring to with about Inchara and it's the shift. And this was
right.
The Treaty of Inchara, which allowed galactic peace to happen, which made this landing able to happen in a way that allows for the light and the dark to come together to create a greater light. And this greater light is now coming forth to create the basic fundamental underpinnings that allows this landing to happen at the divine time, so chosen by the divine plan, which from all I've heard is very close. So the process is simply to allow this to all happen, to understand the change. And that's why I said there's going to be this education project. What has to happen is the landings are not just about having landings. They're about preparing us for the next phase that happens after the landings. Because the landings are part of this greater project, which we've been emphasizing, between moving us from limited consciousness to full consciousness. And this whole process, they realize, has taken a long time. It's been a decade and a half of concentration of moving us and accelerating us through this various shifts, which is this grand shift into full consciousness, which is an integration of our mental, physical, and spiritual selves. And of course, this creates our new emotional self, which is our fully conscious self, which is a higher level of emotion than we're used to right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so as this all happens and this divine love energy, this higher emotion comes through us, we will then be able to understand in a better way exactly how the divine plan works and what our phase is, what our plan, what our purpose each of us is, as well as collectively for creating galactic society on this planet and creating a way to make it possible for a stewardship of a fully conscious planet to happen, as well as of this renewed solar system to happen, to create a new star nation, which I like to tentatively call the solar system star nation, because I don't know what name or reality they're going to create when it finally is finished, because that's up to the people of this planet and of this solar system.
Right.
So what I'm doing is just providing models and prototypes and explaining plans so that people understand what will happen, and the rest is up to their responsibilities to carry it out as their individual life plans have put forth.
The Inchara and the Anunnaki, who are they, and what's the agreement of 1998?
Okay. The Anunnaki are basically those people who, after the fall of Atlantis, came to this world to kind of, you might say, take over for the Atlanteans as our overlords. And the process that they have used over the last 13 millennia is to use various forms of manipulation and control to stay in power and to allow us to almost worship them. So they've used that energy basically to maintain a certain level of power, which also energizes them. Power actually is a very powerful drug, as one person once said, and indeed it creates an incredible energy. And they've used this to kind of, you might say, put a mask over our civilization and keep us in the dark, so to speak, to use another analogy, over what they're really doing, and have been able to successfully manipulate us. Now, the agreement of 1998, there's a group that I like to call our Earth Allies, as it's now called. These are all the various people of light on this planet who've been working diligently for decades to allow for a new reality to happen. And these are people of money, of wealth, and of great power, as well as various other people involved in political and governmental aspects, as well as financial and, of course, banking. What has happened here is they have come together to implement the promise of Saint Germain, which is a great prosperity and also a release of people into a new age of light. And this age of light, this illuminated age, is what Saint Germain, an ascended master, was working very heavily towards. in the early and late 18th and early 19th centuries. And what he did was create a world trust, and we can go on and on and on about the prosperity programs. What is important is that the Agreement of 98 brings this world prosperity, allows for a change in government, allows for a change in the whole process of how the financial and monetary systems on this planet operate, and changes how nation states react to one another, creating a harmony and not a disharmony, working towards creating a situation in which debt and other instruments that have been acted as divisions between nations are gotten rid of. So this talks about a global debt forgiveness and a whole bunch of other things related to putting this world back on a level playing field and not creating an environment in which those who are most powerful, the most wealthiest, are able to control this planet, whether they're large corporations or very powerful individuals. So what we're doing is of great change. And what happened in the Agreement of 98 was that the Earth allies, which are both governmental and private citizens, came together using their authorities and other sacred instruments that are part of those authorities to create an agreement that said that they were going to work with the Galactic Federation to create first contact and to do the things that we've been talking about, creating a new world of prosperity and full and proper personal sovereignty and freedom for every citizen on this planet. And that's basically what the Agreement of 1998 is all about.
Are those Anunnaki still here, or are they gone now?
They're here, but they changed sides. When this Treaty of Inchara was signed between the Galactic Federation and the Inchara Alliance, they saw the handwriting on the wall, so to speak, and they basically switched. And that allowed the secret ruling group on this planet to be in a position for the first time to actually be challenged, because they were kind of like the super overlords who would prevent any possible attack on this group from ever reaching any level of fruition. So they made it possible for this group to feel all powerful and above the law, so to speak, and as the creators of the law and of all the traditions of this planet. And as the children of a very powerful and wealthy series of families whose groups were to come together and maintain internationally this whole process, which involves conflicts and divisions and hatreds, to maintain a system that allowed them to control. And this, of course, is what's changing right now. The Anunnaki have left, so this group, whether you call them the Illuminoids, the Illuminati, are now in a stage where they are near the end of their rule. They realize that they're fighting desperately to end all this, but according to everything that I have been told, and was that this all is shortly to come to an end, and the vast amounts of monies and the other things related with the mice, which we've been talking about, the debt forgiveness, the new banking and financial systems, transitional governments, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, are about to come to fruition. So we're very close to a new era, and as a result of that, I'm very confident to say that very shortly, I can't say exactly when because they won't tell me, the whole process is going to come to an end. And a whole new process, which is the one we've been talking about, the world of preparing for first contact and the first contact and post-first contact world, are very close to happening and manifesting themselves.
So the Anunnaki are the overlords that came here and took over after the sinking of Atlantis. And
right.
And the Inchara, are they a race too?
No, Inchara is the dark energy in the galaxy. It's
okay.
Kind of like the devil energy of the galaxy, if you want to look at it that way.
Are they here too?
No, Inchara has basically receded, and the people who call themselves the children of Inchara, these various dark empires, have become a part of the Galactic Federation and have moved very quickly over the last decade to change the nature of their societies and to move away from the basic concepts that they had basically for millions of years. So it's to watch the change happening out there in the galaxy is, you might say, short of amazing, or over-amazing, or however you want to say it. But it shows how quick, in the twinkling of an eye, an entire reality can just shift. And that's why we have to understand that what's out there for us to happen is getting close to shifting. And when the shift happens, it will create a world that's kind of upside down from what we're used to, and a world that's upside down in a good way. That is, it's allowing for a great change to occur.
Right. since 9/11/2001, Sheldon, what's been the role of the Galactic Federation?
Well, the Galactic Federation has basically had two roles. First of all, to keep the United States government from getting to a position where it would be able to utilize various things in the Patriot Act to declare martial law. So they have kept that from happening. The other thing they wanted to do was to keep the conflicts which would happen as a result of 9/11 to a minimum, which they've been able to do so far. So the next step, of course, is as quickly as possible to move ourselves to the next level, which is to have one of the things that we're talking about here is a regime change in this country so that we're away from this whole war, conflict, and division thing in Washington, and we're moving into another level. And that's why we're talking about transitional governments. So that's the next thing that's getting ready to happen, and that'll be a part of the deliveries of these prosperity programs that we've been alluding to. And that also is very close to happening.
So there's like no way that the bad guys can stop this from happening.
No, all they've been able to do is delay and play games and maneuvers, but they've run out of how to play games and how to maneuver, so we're very close to an ending. When it's going to happen, though, it's not that far away in terms of the process we've gone through over the last decade, so it's close. When it's going to happen exactly, I can't say, but it's very, very close. That's all I can say.
Right. I guess it's like they don't know, they're waiting on the divine plan, or is it something?
Well, there's a divine plan in effect, but what's also happening here is that certain things have to come into effect, and those things are happening right now. So
as
those things happen, it makes it possible for the rest of the plan to happen, and as the rest of the plan happens, we get down to the point where this government will shift and the rest of it will all occur. And so that's all very, very close.
So this is something that's possibly going to happen within the year.
This could happen within the year, could happen within months, could happen within weeks.
Right.
It could happen within a little over a year, who knows, but it's very close.
Right. So how does the Galactic Federation actions correspond to the ongoing consciousness change now?
Well, what's happening is we are shifting at a more and more accelerated level, and that also accelerates the possibilities for first contact. So the Galactic Federation is basically reacting to what's happening down here. So as we move forward and accelerate through the various parts of this shift, it also brings first contact very, very close. So that's one of the things that we have to understand is that there's a holistic procedure going on here. As one goes forward, it helps the other to go forward.
What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is that as the Earth prepares for change,
uh-huh,
and as we move forward in our shift in consciousness, it creates energies that allow for us to be more able to have this shift occur at a closer period of time than a later period of time. And so that's now happening. And so as we approach major, what I like to call watershed points, then the procedures for first contact become possible. And so that's what we're doing now. We're entering into these places where we have these points. So that's why I keep saying it's close.
Right. What's the Galactic Society? Can you tell us about that?
Okay, Galactic Society is basically how the various fully conscious societies on this planet operate. They operate according to a system of four laws, which is basically very simple. It's the law of the one, the two, the three, and the four. Law of the one is about the betterment and full development of the one, which is yourself. The other one is about intimacy. It's the law of the two. It's the law of relationships. The third one is about the law of the creation and moving together of communities. This is the law of the three, and then the law of the four is all about societies or global aspects of that. And so Galactic Society operates on those four ideas and constantly works through a clan system. As you become more conscious, you begin to see that you have certain basic talents and you understand how you can utilize those talents to better not only yourself but your society. So you tend in a Galactic Society, because of the way it's set up, to be born within those basic clans or groups who are dedicated to the same similar lifestyle missions as you are. And then they use their particular abilities and their teaching capabilities to allow you to grow up in a group that encourages and allows your talents to be moved forward to their fullest potential. And then as you become a part of this society, as you grow up toward adulthood, you become more and more able to understand how these operate and to use them not only for your own benefit, in other words, making yourself better and better and better, but also to become part of the society and utilize your talents with others to find ways to create solutions to any problem. It's one of the basic aspects of galactic society is to simply say that behind any potential problem is a solution, and that finding the solution is done through the application of your creative talents. And so this utilization of your creative talents is what galactic society is about. In other words, the law of the one, understanding who you are, what your talents are, how best to utilize them, how to make yourself better. Law of the two, what relationships are, how you relate to other people, how you use that to make yourself better. Law of the three, allowing yourself to understand how communities operate, how you can make communities operate better. And then law of the four, planetarily, understanding the whole process of how a society on a global basis operates to solve problems, make itself better, and serve fully its citizens or in yourself. So you begin to see yourself operating on a collective as well as an individual level simultaneously to make not only your clan and your community and each other better, but also to make the entire planet better and to make the entire star system, the collection of planets that make up your solar system that are part of your star system, to your star nation, I mean, to become better and better and better. And that's basically what galactic society is about. And it implies itself. One galactic society utilizes its talents to help another galactic society to solve its problems creatively and to make it possible for the galaxy to move forward to serve not only the grander galactic societies, the collection of galactic societies, that is the Galactic Federation, but also to serve their planets and their star system in the best possible way, because these are living entities. And one of the basic aspects that we as galactic beings, namely as physical angels, work is to help and make possible for every living entity within this galaxy, every planet, sun, etc., to operate at its maximum sustained efficiencies and abilities so that its life energies and its abilities are maximized. So that's basically what galactic society in a nutshell is about.
So this is going to be all done completely different than the way we do things now. This is going to be solutions in a very peaceful and harmonious manner, right?
Right, exactly. And to use it in a simplistic manner, without going to all the aspects of how fluid dynamics operates, basically that's how we could put it easily and simply so everybody can understand it without going to a whole large lecture about how that operates.
You know, we hear a lot of stuff now, Sheldon, about, you know, from all different directions about what's going to happen in the very near future to Mother Earth. Some people say, you know, it's going to be horrible. Other people say it's not going to be that bad. Some people say that our energies are rising, so there's not going to be any kind of catastrophe or anything. Can you explain what you know through the Galactic Federation regarding what's going to happen to Mother Earth in the very near future?
Well, Mother Earth is approaching a vast change in her physical surface, and also a vast change in how her electrogravitational fields and magnetic fields operate. And so because of this, it's essential for us to understand that these shifts are going to happen, but they're not going to be cataclysmic. A lot of people talk about this vast cataclysm that's supposed to happen. People who know anything about it understand that living beings cannot operate on a surface where a planet is in the midst of a vast and incredibly difficult series of changes to drastically change its surface features. So as a result, that's why as we approach the stage after first contact where we're finally approaching the need to finish off our first contact, I mean our fully conscious aspects, what happens then is that they know they have to evacuate us to those areas that are safe and free of this particular energy shift and at the same time allow us to change safely while the planet changes. So to me, the whole process of Earth changes is about, yes, there's going to be great changes in how our planet looks. We're going to go to a planet that's just about 50-50 in water versus land features from a planet that right now is about 72-73% water. So the vast changes that are going to happen, from what all I've been told, are not about a vast cataclysm happening, but about a vast changes happening after we are in a position to safely finish off what we have to do without worrying about the great changes that Mother Earth has to go to complete her aspect of becoming fully conscious as we do the same in our own safe places.
So they're going to take us on the mothership, some of us, and some of us in inner Earth, is that it?
Exactly.
Right, right. And how's the Galactic Federation helping Mother Earth in this?
Well, what the Galactic Federation has been doing is working very closely with the spiritual hierarchy of this planet, as well as with various aspects of Elohim involved in the process of changing the planet, so that the planet maintains a period of change at the level that's appropriate for allowing the change of the human population to create its changes and then move to a safe place while the Earth can then accelerate and change its features and itself into fully conscious beings. So the result is the Galactic Federation is working very, very diligently to make it possible for Mother Earth to change, and to change in a way that does the minimum amount of damage to the civilization that the human civilization that now lives on this planet. So what's happening here is Earth changes that are appropriate, and also, as I said then, when these changes in ourselves become necessary for us to change and be moved, then the Earth, once this is completed, will then speed up its own changes, and you might say, and in a vast, almost like a twinkling of an eye, change itself.
So they're going to take the animals too, right, Sheldon, not just the people?
Yes, exactly, exactly.
So the animals will be with us, those of us that have animals and love them, they'll be with us and they'll be safe?
Right, right. The idea is not just to cause a massive cataclysm to the ecosystem. The idea is to move the ecosystem through the shift and then allow a new ecosystem to come down, which mirrors the same society that will then live upon the planet. The planet is going to actually change in how it operates and how it works as far as its ecosystem goes. So we're going to go to an ecosystem that's less savage to one that's of a higher conscious nature and is less savage and is a lot different than the one we know right now.
Are the animals aware of this? I mean, are they aware of this and maybe more aware of it than we are?
Their devic energies have told them that there is indeed a change coming and that it's going to be a wonderful change for them as well as for us, and they are quite aware of it.
Wonderful. So they're not scared or anything like that?
No, they understand. They're probably less scared than most humans on this planet right now.
Yeah, I know. I always say their God spread his sparks and they're way far more intelligent than we are. Okay, so the changes that occur into Earth and to humanity, are these changes interrelated, Sheldon?
Right, they are. They are.
They are.
The Earth is changing as we are at the same rate that's acceptable to our changes. So what's happening is our planet as well as ourselves are changing, and it's accelerating. That's why there have been some minor catastrophes. They could have been a lot greater, but the Federation has intervened, that is the Galactic Federation has intervened, to minimize it. But there are certain areas on this planet where major nodal energies have come together and certain things have had to happen, like larger scale earthquakes or volcanic eruptions or similar things, tsunamis, etc., that have unfortunately caused some great degrees of life loss and damage, but there were a lot less than what could have happened if an entire larger region was suddenly subjected to the energies that were localized.
Right. Do they tell you the areas that are going to be having large quakes? Like, for instance, I hear a lot about the quake fault lines in the Caribbean as well as in the Gulf of Mexico around Florida. Do they ever tell you anything about those areas?
Those areas will be a little more activated, but once again, the whole process is to minimalize things as much as possible.
Right.
More like the more traditional areas of the so-called fire ring of the Pacific and a similar fire ring that exists in Africa and a few other places is
right.
more likely to be activated than other areas. And so there will be some quakes, some tsunamis, because any geologist can tell you right now that the degree of sea quakes and sea eruptions of underwater bed volcanoes is increased immensely in all the oceans of the world in the last two decades, and especially in the last half decade.
So have they ever told you that the Caribbean and Florida is a safe place to remain, or should the people in those areas be prepared for tsunamis, large quakes or whatever, anything like that? They ever tell you?
For the most part, no. The only major problem will be the continuation and the potential for time to time a large Category 5 hurricane, which is what is normal for this time of the year anyway. So.
Right. Now, what's the plan to bring new technology to Earth and to introduce technology long suppressed on Earth by the last dark cabal?
Well, what's happening right now is when first contact happens, or actually after government changes happen, the government changes will allow for the suppressed technology to actually be allowed out in the open for the first time. The Galactic Federation has a whole slew of technologies that they intend to introduce when actual first contact landings happen. So what's expected first is the suppressed technologies and devices will be released first. Because new governments, these transitional governments, will be in power that will allow for this to happen. Because right now, most of these major governments pretty well keep the party line about these technologies because they're afraid of these technologies upsetting major corporations, which are major contributors to major political parties around the globe. So the result is that nothing really has been revealed. And when people try to create new technologies that will actually change the planet or change the base of how energy is produced on this planet, they are, you might say, very mightily and quickly suppressed,
mm-hmm.
especially if they reach above certain levels where they might start to be getting noticed by people other than their immediate circle.
Right.
And so as a result, nothing has really happened. But once you remove that aspect, then the whole process is that then a vast opening or disclosure of this technology then becomes possible. So this is basically what we are close to happening. These transitional governments are meant not only to bring in the new systems, but also to allow this new technology to come forth so that we can begin a massive global process of beginning to clean up not only the environment of our particular parts of the world, wherever we happen to live, but most importantly, allowing for us to have a vast change in how our societies operate. Because once you change how energy is evolved and you change it from a largely centralized system to a decentralized system, that also allows for greater personal responsibility as well as greater personal freedom. And so what is about to happen on this planet is as these suppressed technologies come in, the transitional governments, what they're doing is allowing for freedom and sovereignty, personal sovereignty, to actually be expressed for the first time, not only within this country, but on a global basis. So that's really the interesting thing about it that I really like.
So when you say transitional governments, are these people, are these the head of each government, of each country that's being put in to place by the Galactic Federation that is only going to be there for a short period of time? In other words, like each country, like the president of this country will be a new president put in by them in the next country, whatever they have, a king, a queen, or whatever. Is that what you mean?
Well, what I'm talking about is one of these changes that we're talking about, which are changes that deal primarily with how this world changes when these new prosperity funds come out. Their new governments will then be created in the United States and other places.
Okay.
And the purpose of these governments will be, these are the transitional governments, is to work from where these societies operate now to a new place where these societies are going to. And so their job is to work as the transitional vehicle to get us from A, point A, the where we are now, to point B, where we need to be when first contact happens. In other words, a whole new concept of how we are operating, getting ourselves back to the whole process, in the case of the United States, of returning to the American citizenship and to the American Constitution, and actually creating the Constitution in its original points, not in the way that it now exists. Because there are a number of things in the Constitution that were changed after the Civil War. But the process is to understand that these things operate. And we're not going to get into all that, or we'll be here till way till the sun comes up. But
right. Okay. Well, what type of alternative energy technology, Sheldon, has been suppressed?
What technologies are suppressed?
Yeah.
Well, there's all kinds of technologies that are suppressed that deal with pollution. There are all kinds of technology that deal with energy. If it was possible to have things like homopolar generators or magnetic motors or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it would be possible to have electrical systems that operate in your home, or even the Tesla system of special frequencies, which is a wireless power system. It would be possible for you to have an electrical power system in your home and your car that are limitless. And that, of course, immediately changes a lot of economic aspects that are quite different from what now exists on this planet. And it also changes the power structure on this planet, because once you change energies as drastically as that would be, you change the whole concept of how this society operates. And
right.
So that's what we're talking about, is when these new systems come in, it changes the whole concept of how society looks at government. And it also changes on how decentralized we can get, and also understanding the concept of how communities operate for the better of their citizens, and how citizens can come together to make better communities, and how these communities come together to make better nations, et cetera. So
what do you mean by free energy?
Free energy is simply what people call space energy, scalar wave energy. You can call it whatever you want.
Right.
It's the limitless energy of space. It's the limitless energy of the sun. All these energies are out there in the galaxy. They are the energies that are the wheelworks of how the galaxy operates, how planets and stars work. And once you have that energy in your control and have a device that can monitor and operate this energy and convert it into useful electricity as we know it on this planet, it then becomes possible to create systems that are amazing. In other words, a car that runs without needing gasoline and is totally non-polluting.
Right.
You also then have the ability magically to change the systems that have created a vast mess of pollution on this planet and change it around to being pristine and wonderful. Like, we can change highly polluted water into water fit to drink. We can change highly polluted land into land that can be used to grow crops. We can take garbage dumps and get rid of them by turning them into giant piles of fertilizer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Beautiful.
There's a vast miracle of technology that has been suppressed on this planet that's out there, that once it's totally allowed to safely and freely be allowed to be easily transmitted, that is, allowed to go from one part of this planet to the other, it changes how this planet operates. Because right now, this society operates on oil and money. And when we create an abundance that shifts money to being a common process, and we take oil and other things that are greatly centralized in large corporations and decentralize it into something for individuals, those two processes all by themselves change how this society looks immensely.
Right, definitely. So what comments about this do you have, Sheldon, you know, as a Tesla energy researcher and an experimenter in the alternate energy field? What comments do you have?
Well, as I said, these devices exist. They've been suppressed. Right. When we create a society and a government that allows us to totally allow these systems out there, and there are literally hundreds of them out there, it then becomes possible for this world to shift. And there's all kinds of other related technologies that are part of this whole process, magnetic lifter devices, solar paints, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that allow for this all to happen. And I'm getting a little bit on the tired side, so it's past 10:30, so I have reached a point where...
Okay, Sheldon. Well, you want to tell us what humanity's future is and how this ties together with what we've already discussed?
Well, humanity's future basically is to be a fully conscious beings operating in a galactic society as part of a greater group of star nations, of which we will create here in the solar system. It will be one of them. And this whole process is to create a greater series than the Galactic Federation in all the galaxies around us. In other words, what we're working on is creating peace and union and grace for this change to happen, not only in this galaxy and here on planet Earth, but throughout physicality.
Wow.
And that's basically what is happening. So our future is to be two things, a fully conscious beings and to be a part of a great shift that's unveiling the final aspects of this reality's, what I like to call, divine plan. So I hope that answers everything for now.
Thank you, Sheldon. Thank you, my dear. This has been a most incredibly informative show. And if you have, if you'd like to give out your contact information regarding your website or any other important info, Sheldon, just go right ahead and give it, because I know you're getting tired.
Okay. To contact me, first of all, our mailing address is Planetary Activation Organization. It's 204 East 2nd Avenue, number 408, in San Mateo, California, and the zip is 94401. And the way to get a hold of us on our website is www.paoweb, that's P-A-O-W-E-B, all one word, .com. So it's www.paoweb.com. And if you wish to contact us by email, just do it at info@paoweb.com. And finally, if you want to talk to us, the best way to do that is to call up our voicemail. And our voicemail is 808-573-3110. So I hope that takes care of all of that.
Thank you, Sheldon. Thank you so much, my brother. Bless you. And just keep shining your beautiful light. And keep on your mission. And thanks again. I greatly appreciated it. And anytime you'd like to come back on the show, let me know. And I'd be more than happy to have you on again, because I'm sure everybody really enjoyed this information tonight.
Right. Thank you very much, Juliana, for having me on. And may you have a wonderful, great night. And I look forward to coming on again in the near future when that becomes possible.
No problem, Sheldon. You have a wonderful night of rest and peace. And thanks a million. Thanks again.
Right. Thank you very much.
I'll be in touch with you soon. I'll email you over the weekend, okay?
Okay, right. Salamat ja.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Guest is an independent UFO investigator, researcher, and the director of the HBCC UFO Research Group out of British Columbia, Canada, Mr. Brian Veich. He's a very popular internet radio show and called The Veich Report. He's going to share with us some of the best of the hundreds of UFO reports he investigates every year. This will be another exciting show, so please join us if you can. We'd love to have you. And thank you so much again, Sheldon. Thank you, Don, and the BBS staff. Thank you for all your hard work in bringing this wonderful information out to the world. Thanks, Christopher, for helping me and standing by my side. Thank you, James Twyman, for your beautiful music of peace from your CD, The Best So Far. Listeners, thank you so very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I wish you health. I wish you love, and I wish you peace and abundance. Always remember, dear souls, be kind and compassionate and respectful to each other and all of God's creations. Strive for peace. Be peace. Teach others by your positive example. Good night, everyone, and sweet dreams of a beautiful world that we all live in harmony as one. Good night. I love you.
Oh, Maria. Oh, love. Holy Mary.